Amen. It is an amazing thing, isn't it? You stay amazed. Amen. That's our only problem. We take it for granted that God, you know, the only reason we don't spend the day with God is us. It's not God. Oh, listen, what a good song. Thank you. What a blessing. Appreciate that. Amen. All right, in Mark 12, 28 to 30. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And they're always trying to trick him. You know, always trying to trick Jesus. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Father, I pray you bless the preaching today. Thank you for the good music, the choir special, Kendall singing, and the offertories, just everything. God, it's been a blessing. And it's just good to be here in church, the first service of 2009. And I pray, God, that you'll bless. We ask for your power, your help. Especially pray if there's anyone here who's not saved, that today would be the day, God, that they would come to you and they would know that relationship of being saved and being your child. God, I pray that you'll speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is the first service of 2009. That's always exciting to me. And 2008 was wonderful. Really, we had a great year, a lot of good things. And always look forward to the annual meeting where we can kind of look at some of the praises and some of the things that God has done over the year. But this is the first service of 2009. So I want to talk to you about first things first. And just kind of key in on the word first in the Bible. And of course, we like things that are first. I mean, we always like first place. Amen. You know, I always say that if you're not interested in first place, don't enter. Well, what about the fun of it? No, do your best. You know, you're supposed to always do your best. Try to get first place if it's a contest or something like that. Not that if you don't get first place, you whine and complain and everything, but should always strive for that. We like that. We many times like to be first in line. You know, when you go to the downstairs, you can see people whenever we have a fellowship. You know, you'll watch, especially children, you know, they're always trying to get to that first spot like there won't be any food left. Of course, knowing good Baptists, a lot of times there's not food left. But we like that word first. But God takes first seriously, and as well he should, and as well we should. And what are we going to do first? What are you going to do first in 2009? What are the priorities that you've already set? What are the priorities? If you know, you read through your Bible last year, and many folks did, but have you already started for next year? Again, you don't have to necessarily use our little plan that we have where you check off the different readings, but it's a good plan. You ought to use some kind of a plan in your own heart, in your own mind, whereby you can read through your Bible. Is that something you've already started? You should have already started anyway. And what are your priorities? What is first in your heart, in your mind, for the new year? And I want to just show you some areas where the Bible is really specific about first things. And the first thing, of course, obviously, is our God. The Bible is very, very clear about our God. And how he is to be first. It says in our text, Jesus answered him, verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The whole idea is loving God. Now, I don't know if that's on your list for priorities. I don't know if that's on your list. You know, hey, I want to start out really loving God like I'm supposed to love God. I want to put God first. You understand, there are lots and lots of small g gods. Okay, there's a whole bunch of them. Money can be, a car can be, a job can be, a spouse can be, a friend can be. I mean, there are all kinds of things. A hobby can be. There are many small g gods that maybe we would put first. And maybe that was, you know, as January 1 rolled around, we, you know, well, I'm thinking about my hobby, or I'm thinking about my job, or I'm thinking about, you know, where we should have started. It should have been, Lord, I'm thinking about you. You know, it is very interesting. We Wednesday, we had our church service here on New Year's Eve, and then, you know, I made the bold statement that I'm going to bed. I'm not staying up. And of course, my wife was gone, and you know, I already had determined I was wore out. And but you know, it's funny. At about 10 till 12, I was still up, and I just fell on my face before God, and just that's how I brought in the new year. Just talking to God. And I didn't necessarily plan that. I planned to be sound asleep. But God had other plans. And what a wonderful thing, you know, to be able to, you know, God, I love you. I love you in 2008, but guess what? As 2009's coming in, I love you then too. Hey, put God first. That is the first thing, the first commandment. Now, you know, money can be a problem. Religion can be a problem. Those things can get in the way. God talks about idolatry and don't put anything above God. He ought to be first. In every decision, everything you do, we need to be thinking about God. We need to love God. He is to be first. He is to be our God. You know, that starts with getting saved. You may be here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You may be, have been religious. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you even got baptized sometime or another when you were a child. But have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? And you're trusting Him alone. I didn't ask if you're a member of a Baptist church. Didn't ask if you're a member of any church. Didn't ask if you do a lot of good things for social clubs or anything. I'm saying, have you ever been born again? Have you trusted Christ as Savior? Was there a time when you realized you were a sinner? Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Was there a time that you realized there's punishment for sin? For the wages of sin is death. Has there been a time when you realize that you've sinned and there's punishment in a place called hell? Has there been a time when you realize that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin? Praise God. What a great reality that is, that our sins are paid for by the Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Was there a time when you called upon Jesus to come into your heart? I mean, that's salvation. People say, well, that's too easy. Then do it. Amen. Then do it. Then get saved. Realize you're a sinner. Realize you need Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Call upon Jesus, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you ought to do that today. That's how you start off, putting God first. Nothing else matters. Well, you know, but I'm a member of a church. That's not salvation. Amen? Salvation is your relationship with God Almighty. It is you calling on Him and trusting Him as your Savior. Thank God I did that when I was 17 years old, and I've not regretted it ever since. And I know I'm never going to regret it. In fact, the older I get, the more I'm so thrilled. I'm kind of like Kendall just sang, and I wanted to sing with him, you know. I'm amazed, absolutely amazed at what God has done for me, and that he would want to spend time with me. Hey, all you got to do, go back to the book of Genesis and read about Adam and Eve, and you'll see God's heart. Adam! Oh, Adam! Every day he wanted to meet with Adam. Adam! Where are you, Adam? And then when man sinned, Adam wasn't there. Adam wasn't there, was he? Yeah, see, sin is keeping you and God apart. Get saved. Get saved. Amen. Just trust Christ as Savior. And that starts off putting God first. But I want you to notice here, you know, after a person gets saved, the Bible's very, very clear about making God first here. And he talks about this. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. All thy heart. The heart is, that's the seat of our affections. And, you know, what's he talking about here? He's talking about a true-hearted love, not fake. God, I love you. I'm not just saying it. You know, a lot of people, they'll light candles and they'll go through all kinds of motions and everything. But God's not talking about it. God says, I want your heart. You know, remember the one Christmas gift that God asked for. And we think about all kinds of other things we want to give Him. But you know what He really wants? He says, my son, give me thine heart. He wants you to love Him. And a real love. God, I love you. And it's obvious. It's loving Him with your heart. Then it says here, he says, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And the soul, that's our emotions. That's where we really desire Him. By the way, that's obvious. Amen. That is very obvious. I know when my wife and I were dating, you know, if I said, she said, hey, what are we going to do tomorrow night? And I said, I'm not coming over. She'd say, By the way, if that happened now, if I said, you know, I really don't want to be around you. Listen, do you desire God? Now, I'm being serious about this. You know, I know we go to church. I understand it. But do you desire God? Do you desire Him? Do you say, oh, I desire Him with all my heart. Okay, here's a gauge. Who do you spend more time with, God or the television? God or the newspaper? Okay, how much do you desire Him? Desire. And again, I'm just saying, my soul. I'm to love Him with my heart, my soul. Notice what else it says here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's our intellect. He doesn't want us to have a blind devotion. He wants us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I should know why I love Him. I should know why I desire Him. It's with my mind, all my mind. Oh, yeah. It's not, you don't know what you're talking about. You Christians just blindly follow a gut. No. I know. You know, we may know that we have eternal life. All through the book of John, all through the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the word know. God wants us to know. He wants us to know based upon this book, based upon what He said in His Word. Hey, I know because God said so. I know I'm going to heaven because God said if I called upon His name, I could be saved and go to heaven. I know there is a heaven because He tells me about it in His Word. Listen to me. You better get to know the Word of God so you can get to know God and love Him with your mind. With your mind. Well, I just don't know. Okay, if you don't know, find out. Amen. And the Bible is there so we can find out. With our heart, our soul, our mind. And then He says this, with all thy strength. All thy strength. Boy, that's good, isn't it? That's my energy. That's my effort. That's my intensity. Strength. Hey, is there that effort in loving God? Is there intensity? You know, some folks today, honestly, you said, I'm going to church. And whether there's ice, whether there's not, I'm going to church. That meant you had to go out there and scrape the windshield. Amen? You know, why? Because God, I love you. That's why. Amen? I'll scrape the windshield, God, because I love you. And you know, when it snows real bad, well, I'll never forget last year. And everybody canceled all around us. We had visitors come, and I kind of like that. But because we never canceled. But you know, folks had to. I mean, people had to dig out of the snow, and I don't remember how many inches of snow we got. But folks were out there shoveling, you know, and we had to shovel out the parking lot and get enough spaces. And Slesarskis, they're plowing, you know, and everything, and trying to get it open up because they can't believe we're actually having church because nobody else is. Hallelujah. But it was so good because, you know, some of you, and I'm not mad if you didn't come. Some of you just, you couldn't. But it's like, you know what, God, I'm going to be there. It's intense. It's my energy. It's my strength. You know, and by the way, everybody has different kinds of strength. You know, you have some folks who are, well, like Zach Carpenter. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of a... No, he's a real strong guy. No, but Zach, he is. But you compare Zach with Curry, you know, and Curry's a little bit stronger. But you know what? God knows how much strength one has and how much strength another one has, and it's just I'm gonna give it all I got, and that's exactly what Zach does, and hopefully that's what Curry does. And you know, if we'll all do that, everybody has different amounts of strength and abilities. You know what I'm supposed to do? Give him all of it. Just all that I've got. Hey, God, it isn't much compared to so-and-so, but it's all. It's intensity. It's energy. And that's how I'm supposed to love Him. You know, I think back to Brenda's and my dating days, and I mean, I really was intense. And boy, any opportunity to give a gift, I'm there. You know, I'm looking forward to all this because I'm wanting to give her a ring from the day I met her. And you know, all these opportunities and the gifts just kept getting better and better. They're getting closer and closer to that ring. And I'm all excited about, guess what? I'm still excited about that. You know, we'll make up holidays just to be able to do something and to be a blessing. And why? 'Cause of that energy, that love. I ought to show that to my God. Why is it when the offering plates come around, you know, it's like, oh, brother, here we go. Oh, doesn't he know that I'm broke from Christmas? Whose birthday? I'm just saying, you know, this putting our God first, it's a big thing. And it should be the first thing in 2009 that we think about, is God being first, our God. Number two is our godliness. Our godliness. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. Our godliness. Notice here the first thing. Verse 12, it says this. For if there be first, there it is, first, a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Our godliness. First, a willing mind. You know, the first thing in our lives is to have that willing mind. I'm going to put God first, but now if I'm putting God first, I'm going to have to be willing. If there is going to be a relationship with God, there's going to have to be a willing mind on my part. I'm going to have to be willing. Look, if you will, keep your place and go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And we use this verse all the time. I want you to see it. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Again, I'm supposed to have a willing mind. Proverbs 23, 7. And it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Notice the word thinketh. Thinketh. Okay, and again, I understand we're dealing with the heart here, but thinketh. You know, here's what I really am. It's what I'm willing to be is what I am. Whatever you're willing to be in 2009 is what you're going to be. Okay, if you're willing, hey, last year about this time it was, okay, I'm willing to read through my Bible. Every day I'm going to read so many chapters. Every day I'm going to read in my Bible so much, and every day I'm going to do that, and then at the end of it, I've done it. But you had to have a willing mind first. It had to be first. It had to be, and that's what you were. Listen to me. We do what we want to do. We do what we're willing to do. Okay? Somebody said, well, you know, I just could not do that. Okay, are you sure you couldn't do it, or you just weren't willing to do it? Because I promise you this, if you're willing to do it, you can do it. You'd be amazed how much you can do. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. Listen, get your mind willing. Put your mind to it. Make up your mind. All these terms we use all the time. It starts here. Our godliness. Look, you can be godly if you will to be godly. You can do right if you will choose and will to do right. Okay, I want to do right. And I'm not saying, will you do right? I will do right. Then you will. You will. I'm not saying you won't mess up every now and then. I'm saying, though, but part of doing right is getting right with God when you do mess up. I mean, that's all part of it. Look, you and I will do right if we're willing to do right. Okay? You get baptized because you're willing to get baptized. I think about the young ladies the other day that we baptized, and the water was absolutely, it's the coldest water I've ever been in, ever. Our heater, the pump got shut off or something, and as soon as I stepped in, I'm wearing waders, but they're not insulated. As soon as I stepped, I said, oh, no. No, 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 no. But I had soul winners back there with these girls. I believe Jenny had led one of them to the Lord, and something like that, and my wife was back there, and I said, girls, it's really cold, and they said, it's okay, go ahead. Yeah. I'm thinking, well, A, I'm cold. B, they're going to be frozen. And, you know, those girls, it was like, okay. You know why? Because they made up their mind. They made up their, I'm getting baptized. No matter what, I'm going to get baptized. It's the right thing to do. I'm going to get baptized. I'm telling you, it was so cold. It's unbelievable. I mean, Brother Stewart can tell you, he was back there with me afterwards because I baptized two of them. And again, those waders are not insulated. Where's the pity? Thank you. But I mean, Brother Stewart's bad, and I was going, I'm thinking about those poor girls. They had to go all the way under. Do you know how that catches your breath? I mean, they had to hold their nose real tight. Because, I mean, that wasn't good. But I've been suffering with nosebleeds, so let's hope that doesn't happen. But they only did that because they were willing to do it. Okay, why wouldn't you get baptized? You've been saved. Why? You know, I was talking about Sunday school class back when I was a hippie. It's still hard to imagine. But you know, the preacher came. He said, "Hey, you got saved. You need to get baptized." I said, "Well, yeah, but my hair will get wet." And he looked at me like, "That's an excuse? I mean, so what? Does it ever get wet?" You know, and well, yeah, but people don't see me with my hair wet, you know, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't lay right, and it'll expose my forehead. And isn't it funny what we worry about when we're young? Matt, that's not that funny. But you know, finally, you do it because you're willing to do it. It's right, but I got to decide. It's right, but now I've got to choose it. It's the thing I'm supposed to do, but. Okay, that's why you're going to go to work in the morning. Because your mind is made up. Okay, this is what I have to do. I'm willing to do it in my mind. That's how you read through your Bible last year. That's how you pray. You know, I'm going to do this. That's how we get to church. That's how we serve the Lord. We have to be willing. We have to get it in our mind. I'm willing to do this. And in our hearts, I'm willing to do this. By the way, that's the same with an area of sin in your lives. We have to be willing to quit. Okay, you know, I just can't quit this sin. That's not true. That is not true. You can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can quit the sin. You just have to be willing. I have people all the time. Oh, well, you know, I really want to quit this thing. Okay, then why do you keep putting yourself in that position? You know, I want to quit drinking, and I'm going to quit drinking. Then, okay, why did you go buy a six-pack? You're not serious. Okay, well, I'm going to quit smoking. Then why did you just go buy a carton? Honestly, it doesn't make sense. Well, I want to quit looking at porn on the computer. Okay, then why don't you go disconnect your internet? Hello? Oh, you know, I can't quit watching these things on the television. I just can't, you know, okay, I got a solution for you. Take the television, go out to the corner or out to the curb and drop it. Glass first. Pick up the glass then and make it safe and then let them haul it off. If you can't handle, listen to me. Don't say I can't do these things. It's, are you willing? Because I promise you, anything you're willing to do, you are going to accomplish it if it's a right thing, and especially if it's God's will and God's laid it on your heart. You have to be willing. The Bible is very clear. Godliness takes a willing mind. It takes. Let me show you a couple other things under this point that involve our godliness that God says come first. Matthew 5. Look at Matthew 5:21. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible says here, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar." Notice what it says. "And go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." First, be reconciled to thy brother. You know, part of our, you say, well, I hate so-and-so. Okay, you need to get right with God, and you need to get a willing mind to go get that right. Amen. You ought to be able to love, and you ought to love. We talked about this in Sunday school. Love your brother. Love the brethren. Be reconciled. Well, you know, you don't understand what they did to me. Doesn't matter. But you know, it's going to start here. It's going to start with a willing. Okay, I got to be willing. You know, some people just kind of like being mad. You know anybody that likes to fight all the time? Don't say mother-in-laws. Fellas, you get in trouble. I'm just saying, you know, there's some people, just they just enjoy, you know, that kind of. We're not supposed to. OK, Okay? You got to be willing to get it settled. Willing to what, how can we make this right? Willing. It starts there. And first, be reconciled. We say, I love God. Yeah, but you hate your brother? Read 1 John. God says you're a liar. I didn't say it. God said it. God says you're a liar. Okay, here's another one. Matthew 7 and verse 5. Matthew 5 through 7 has got a lot of good practical stuff. Matthew 7, verse 5. We don't like this, but it is so true. Start at verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote? I'm sorry, let's start at verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. By the way, that's not saying that you can't judge. That's just saying be careful when you judge, because you can be judged. He's just saying judge not that ye be not judged, because when you judge, you're going to get judged. Are you listening? But then he says this, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Isn't that something? See, a mote is a little speck. And a beam is a great big piece. And so he's saying, your brother has this little speck of dirt in his eye, and you're really criticizing it and looking at it, but you have got a tree in your eye. Amen. He says here, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first, there's our word, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We have no right to judge when our own sin is present and obvious and everything else. I mean, now the Bible does say he that is spiritual judgeth all things. But again, a judgment is not to condemn. A judgment is to try to help somebody. In other words, I'm saying, hey, brother, by the way, if I come up to Kelvin and say, hey, you got something in your eye there, it's very obvious, and he says it's been bothering me all day long, and I try to help him get that out, that's a good thing. If I come up to Brother Kelvin and I say, you wicked, vile, heathen pig, what is that stuff in your eye? I can't believe you have stuff. You can't get your job done. What's your problem? Then that's not trying to help him. Hello. And especially if I walk up to him and I say, Brother Kelvin, you got nasty stuff in your eye, and my eye has got this tree hanging out of it. Boy, be careful, folks. Be careful. You know, I ask this question all the time. Who made you the sheriff? it's tough. It really is tough. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. But our judgment is to determine right and wrong, and never to point a condemning finger at folks. I mean, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I preach hard against false doctrine and false actions and wickedness and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not trying to get into people's motives as to what they do or why they do it. And, the whole idea is get the thing out of your eye and you can really help them. You're not able to help somebody as long as you get your own issues. You're going to have a hard time unless they come to you and ask for help. But again, this is all part of our godliness. And if we would just deal with ourselves, it'd be amazing how much we could get done. Amen. At invitation time, do you find yourself saying, well, they ought to go forward. What's wrong with them? What's their problem? Instead of God, speak to my heart. Speak to me. Deal with me, God. Amen. It's part of our godliness. These are first. First, get the thing out of your eye. First, deal with your own sin. Our God, our godliness. What's another thing that we should think about first? It'd be our goals. Look at Matthew 6. Back to Matthew again. Matthew 6. And a verse that many have memorized, and boy, we ought to take heed to it. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What should be first in 2009? Our God, our godliness, our goals. Our goals. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything that is a goal. Brother Correa preached on priorities and some goals and that on last Sunday night, and kind of got into my message a little bit, but I'm not bitter, too bitter. But everything starts, okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm going to read through my Bible this year, all right? And is that seeking first the kingdom of God? I think so. I think God would want you to do that. Okay, how about prayer? Yeah, I think God would want you to do that. In other words, start off first with the kingdom of God. Not my will, but thine be done. You know, not my desire. Well, but preacher, what about what I want? Okay, that's on the back burner. Amen? That's on the back burner. First, I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. First, I'm going to, you know, okay, let's say I got an extra $10,000 bonus. We can vote on it now, folks. No, but you get a $10,000 bonus. Okay, what am I going to do with that? And boy, you start thinking about, you know, this and this and furniture and the washer and dryer, you know. Wait a minute. First, think about the kingdom of God. That's where it ought to start. Boy, it just gets so quiet. Well, you're meddling now, preacher. All right. Well, I'm not trying to tell you what to do with your $10,000. I doubt that anybody got that. But you say, but what about what I want? Okay, what about your goal starting first with the kingdom of God? Is this something, God, that you would want for me? Amen? In other words, what does he want? We are bought with a price. We are his. Amen? You know, so as you have your goals for 2009, and I think that's a wonderful thing. You say, well, I've already got my list. Okay, make sure they all measure up as far as seeking first the kingdom of God. And as Brother Correa mentioned, you know, in Luke 14, talks about counting the cost. Make sure your goals are realistic as far as God is concerned. Realistic goals. Room for God to work, but realistic. Amen? I mean, you know, where, for example, there's sin involved in your life and you have a goal to get rid of that thing and you got a willing mind to get rid of that thing, ask God for a miracle to help you get rid of that. I always go back to when I got saved and how before I got saved, I cussed and swore and made up cuss words. Some of the cuss words people use today, I think they learned from me. I'm serious. It was terrible. My language was so bad. It was every other word. And when I got saved, it's amazing how God took that away from me. Now, I wanted to quit. And I knew I was supposed to quit. And I knew it was right to not have that kind of filthy language. But God had to do something. Some of your goals, it's going to have to be, God, help me. But again, that's seeking first the kingdom of God. Because it's a good goal. It's a right goal as far as our language, as far as what we do and all that. But we should have realistic kind of goals and all of that. You know, you seek first the kingdom. Well, God would, I know God wants me to give $1 million. Okay, well, I don't know that I'd make that a goal right now. You know, I don't know that I would say at the end of the year, if I don't give $1 million, I'm going to kill myself. Or, you know, let's not do those kind of things. All right. Let's be realistic about that. God is not against good goals. Amen. Like losing weight and saving money and buying a house or a car or something like that. But the key is take it to God first. Take it to him first. You know, so much energy many times is expended on things that if we just take it to God, he'd help us. He would do his part in what it is. All these things, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. And so many things are added if you just go to him first. I would take my list if I were you, whatever it is. You know, well, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to do, you know, I would take that and I'd say, God, I'm taking this to you first. And God, these are my goals. Now, I want to make sure they're your goals for me. I want to make sure these are your goals for me. Reading my Bible, I believe that is. Praying, I believe that is. Being faithful to church, I believe that is. Soul winning, I believe that is. And take them to God and get numbers and whatever you do as far as setting goals for yourself. How many tracts you're going to give out, how many spiritual goals, how many things, maybe things you got to quit, you got to get rid of, smoking or drinking or pornography or cussing or lying or gossip, whatever it might be. And set those goals by seeking first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added. All these things shall be added. And I like what Brother Korea said the other night. I didn't read all my Bible last year. Yeah, but I can almost guarantee you read more last year than you've ever read in your life. If you tried. Amen. And that's still a good thing. And just keep going. Just keep reading your Bible. It is the Word of God. And so, you know, how's your goals today? How do they line up? Well, I'm out to make millions and millions of dollars. Okay, well, does that line up with seeking first the kingdom of God? You know, I've said this many times. You know, all the different, especially back when Publishers Clearing House and Reader's Digest knew where I lived. Do you remember when they knew where you lived? And now I don't want them to know where I live. But I remember when they knew where I lived and we'd get that stuff in the mail. And I'd say, aha, I'm going to win $1 million. Of course, God, you know me. I'll give. And boy, I'd fill everything out and put the little sticky thing there and tear that off and put that there and find the little hidden message and tear that out and stick it on there. And I mean, I'm ready. And I would even pray, oh God, help me to win this. Amen. And I was convinced God's gonna help me to win $1 million. There's no question about it. I mean, I give. Amen. I'm going to, hey, God, I'll make a deal with you, God. I'll give you $101,000. How's that? Never mind. Some of you have to think about that. But anyway, and you know, I was all excited about that. And then, you know, the person, they'd show the person and they're winning the prize. And I think, it's not me. Why didn't I win? And then I'd get real pious and I'd say, oh God, thou knowest. And then I'd have to always stop and say, he does know. He knows me. And that's why I didn't win. Because he knows me. He knows me better than I know me. Wonder what that $1 million would do. Would I quit praying? Would you have to pray if you had $1 million? Oh, you say, preacher, I would pray. Just remember this. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it's easy to fall in love. It's you don't fall in love with it when you don't have it. Amen. Some of the happiest people in the world are people that are broke. Some of the most miserable people in all the world are people that have lots and lots of money. Why is that? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And I'm just saying this. You know, if making lots of money, okay, but first go to God. God, help me to make enough so I can do whatever you want me to do. Every week, Brother Stewart, every Sunday morning, Brother Stewart and I pray. And we both, last year, we prayed pretty much every Sunday morning. We prayed and said, God, help us to make our budget. Help us to pay all our bills. Help us to, and Brother Stewart starts claiming, you know, a certain amount of money. It's realistic, but it's always, you know, God, help us to do whatever we have to, whatever we're supposed to do. Help us to give, bless our people, their jobs, and their incomes, so we can give and we can do everything you want us to do. And honestly, seek first the kingdom of God. What should we do first in 2009? First should involve our God, our godliness, our goals, and then the last thing, and I just talked about, is our giving. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, and I just want to show you this verse, and it's right in there in the verses that we talk about faith, promise, giving. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. Yeah, I knew it was leading up to this. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8, 5, it says, this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. You say, I thought you were going to talk about money. No, I'm talking about giving yourself. First gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Our giving. Hey, how about in 2009, just making a covenant with God. God, I give you me. I'm not much. But you've got me. You've got me. And give yourself to Him. Amen. Our giving. That's where it all starts. Do you know when you give God yourself, you've given Him your checkbook. You've given Him the change in your front pocket. You were hoping I'd start with that, weren't you? Yeah. No, the checkbook. You've given him your savings account. You've given Him your retirement account, which, if it's like mine, isn't much anymore. When you give yourself, you've given him your car. Well, that's good. It doesn't run. Amen. You've given him your house. When you give yourself, you give him everything. And first, he says, they gave their own selves. And honestly, I would really encourage you. Because, you know, we use this verse all the time, talking about our faith promise, our missions program. But in verse 3, it says, for to their power. For to their power. In other words, when I give myself, that means that everything in my power is I'm going to give to God. Okay, whatever's in my power. Obviously, he requires a tithe, and he requires, you know, the giving and all those kinds of things. But that's all in my power. I earn so much money every year, and I'm going to give him in my power. Okay, and that's a certain amount, and that's automatic because I'm giving him myself. So, for to their power I bear record, yea. But here's where it's fun as a Christian. Because then it gets into beyond their power. They were willing of themselves. Beyond their power. See, you've got whatever you can do, whatever's in your power. Then you have whatever God can do. That's good stuff. That's when you start having fun as a Christian. Amen. I'm serious about that. That's when your giving is not tedious, it's exciting. It's when the plate goes around, you're thrilled about it instead of, oh, brother, here we go again. You know, it's because of beyond their ability. Because beyond my ability is his ability. And that's when it's really exciting. But you know, it all starts with giving yourself. 2009, how's your firsts? How's your priorities? Are you thinking about your God? Are you thinking about godliness? You know, am I what God wants me to be? Are you thinking about some goals and making sure, okay, these line up with God's will for my life? These goals? Are you thinking about your giving? Giving yourself? 2009, I trust that you will. I trust that we will all just work together. And give ourselves to the Lord and make the things that God says are first, make them first in our lives. Let's bow our heads, please.